Welcome to the weekend and this edition of the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. You can catch up with me and the podcast of the show at BillMick.com. We're concluding a series of shows on artificial intelligence and its impact on society. We opened the series with cautions about AI as it impacts so many aspects of our lives. Last week, we discussed a very positive use of AI in education. And this week, we explore the law and the legal implications for AI and for us. Joining us this week, attorney Steve Charpentier, as we consider the fast development of technology, the impossible task of keeping up with it, much less ahead of it, and where that leaves us as it's coming, whether we're ready or not. AI and the law. It's the wild, wild west, or it could be, this weekend on the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network.
Great deals are now Blue Munich Quality Green Specialists. Featuring a wide variety of fancy trees, ornamentals, herbs, and flowers, including over 50 varieties of fruiting plants, with sustainable organic nursery products and top quality soil testing. Experience a world of beauty at Quality Green. Open 9 to 4 daily at 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand. Online at qualitygreenspecialist.com. Quality Green Specialists. Top quality plants, sustainable gardening products, friendly expert advice.
Love the outdoors. Florida's transit connects to nature. From lush parks to peaceful nature reserves, Florida's transit system makes it easy to explore the beauty of the great outdoors without the stress of traffic. Whether it's a day at the beach or hiking through scenic state parks, we've got you covered. Leave the car behind. Take the bus or rail and let nature take care of the rest. Transit connects you to adventure and Florida's natural beauty. Take a ride to your next outdoor escape. Visit transitconnectsflorida.com for routes that connect you to nature.
There's a price war in the insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call the Term Lifeline right now and see if you can save 40%. $500,000 plans and up, that's our specialty, even great smokers rates. Protect your family today. Call the Term Lifeline right now for a free quote. 866-558-TERM, 866-558-TERM, 866-558-TERM.
Oh my gosh, you guys, this season's hottest accessory hit shelves decades ago and has been flying off them ever since. It's functional, it's attractive, and it's the smart choice. Life jackets. Seen here on the model, life jackets complement any figure and bring a certain je ne sais quoi to the waters.
The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission wants to remind you to wear your life jacket anytime you're out on the water. Visit wearitflorida.com. Wear it, Florida.
Welcome back to the Florida Roundtable. Bill Mick with you. Steve Charpentier with us as we talk artificial intelligence and the law, which is more wide open than anybody might have thought. Steve Charpentier, thanks for being here. Good to talk to you today.
It's my pleasure, Bill. It's great to be here on this chilly morning and chat about AI. And you're right. It is, to some degree, the wild, wild west. And what else is interesting, this wild, wild west has been going on for a while. It didn't start yesterday, as you'll see from a few of the cases we may discuss today, that it's been going on for 10 years or so. My background with it as a trial lawyer here in Brevard County since 1981 is I've gone from the days when we just had the thermal faxes all the way through now with AI. I've served as president of the bar, and that got me involved a little bit in this AI world. And then I've gone on to serve on our newest faction the bar's put out is the Professionalism Committee. I'm serving on that now, which also has a focus on AI and the proper use and misuse.
It's finding its way into all kinds of elements of our society. We talked about it in our first show on this. We talked about it in education last week. And now, I mean, medicine, what I do, production, radio, and commercials and all of that kind of stuff, there's not an element of our society that's not going to be touched by this.
You're absolutely right. And in law, it's doing research for us now. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the cases we can talk about, too. And
sure.
In fact, the first ethics advisory opinion of 2024 was issued by the Florida Bar, dealt with AI. And if you want me to, I can go through that real quickly for the listeners.
Yeah, we've got a little bit of time. Go right ahead.
All right, so this is Florida. It's ethics advisory opinion 24-1. And ethics are rules that lawyers shall live by. They're not advisory.
Right.
They're mandates. So this is important as opposed to rules of professionalism or things we aspire to, although now those are becoming a bit of a mandate as well. But anyway, key, it makes sense, number one, is that information that is shared on any AI platform must be kept confidential. And what a lot of people may not understand is if you inquire of an AI platform, you're feeding it. And
sure
many of
are.
Them feed what you feed it to the rest of the world. So as a lawyer, you could be feeding confidential information regarding your client to the world. So the floor.
So you're asking AI a question about this case that you're working on. You have to be very, nonspecific about who, where, that type of thing.
Sure, unless you have one that captures your information. There are some AI platforms designed for lawyers and other folks that want to keep things confidential that certain identifying aspects of that AI inquiry are not sent to the whole world.
So they're automatically redacted by the system.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure.
And if not, well, you got to check it, right? That's going to be your job.
That's right. We're going to see cases probably there where there are leaks, quote unquote.
Uh-huh.
You know? So that's number one, is you have to keep the client's information confidential. And it's up to the lawyer to do that. That's what
right.
the Florida bar says. Number two, competence and oversight. Accuracy. And we've all heard about it on TV, the cases where the lawyers had a brief written by AI.
Right.
Looks beautiful. The only problem is nobody proofread the cases, and they don't even pertain to the issue.
Or they cited a case and created everything, and they call that in the AI world hallucinations, that it made it up out of whole cloth, and it's not an actual thing.
And that has actually happened. Number three, I think most people would appreciate knowing this, billing practices.
Uh-huh.
So the time a lawyer saves in their course of billing because of AI
uh-huh.
has to be passed along to the client. So if I do perform a function.
So you can call him and spend 15 minutes talking about it and telling him how it works and bill him for that. That'll work.
Well, that may or may not happen, but you can't use AI to do something that would normally take you an hour and get away with 15 minutes and then bill for the full hour.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. We're going to have to break here, but as we continue, we'll explore this and other cases more. It's a wide open world, and it's going to impact us in ways we haven't thought about. From ethics to the law itself, and what happens to victims when AI has helped to victimize them. All of that ahead on this week's weekend's edition of the Florida Roundtable on the Florida News Network.
Fresh Florida strawberries. First in the nation, hand-picked from the berry belt of Florida, these magnificent morsels are the holiday season's sweetest gift. Spectacular smoothies, tempting tiramisus, cupcakes, cheesecakes, or shortcakes, they're all long in flavor when Florida strawberries are in the mix. With sunshine in every bite, they turn any meal into a memorable moment. To see what Florida strawberries can do for you, visit freshfromflorida.com today.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you use insulin or have had hypoglycemic events, you may qualify. Call U.S. Med now to learn more.
800-513-1652. 800-513-1652. 800-513-1652. That's 800-513-1652.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision. Especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Back on the Florida Roundtable, Bill Mick with Steve Charpentier, an attorney, and we're talking the legal aspects of artificial intelligence. Steve, you were talking about the first ruling came out of 2025 regarding this. We got another point or two to get to close that up. Let's pick it up.
Yeah, well, there. That was the ethics opinion advisory from the Florida Bar. The last one was advertising and communication. So AI can respond to an email now, not a human. AI can answer a phone call now, not a human. So if lawyers are going to use AI in their advertising, you see the little bubble pop up, you know, do you want to call me or do you want to email me on a lawyer ad on the internet?
Okay.
They need to let you know, they being the attorneys, is this a human being you're speaking with or is this an AI?
So it's requiring full disclosure at that
Correct.
Point.
Transparency.
Kind of makes sense.
Makes absolute sense to me.
Okay, very good. Have you seen this in play already in your practice or in other practices that you've dealt with?
Well, my practice is not one where I use much marketing or advertising. I'm a dinosaur, so to speak. But the newer ones I've seen, I see, like everybody, the pop-up ads on the internet.
Sure.
And I know that some of those are AI answerable. And as far as identifying specific ones, I'd rather not get into that. But I think the lawyers are pretty good at disclosing it.
Okay.
With what I've seen.
Is this kind of a new development?
Yes, relatively.
Okay.
And I think, though, the consumer of legal services need to be aware of this, and they have to take, you know, caveat emptor, buyer beware.
Absolutely. The law has always trailed technology. They can't be ahead of it because it's not developed or in play yet. As it is developed, they lag behind. There's no way to be ahead, and really there's no way to catch up. When it comes to AI or other technology, what's the best strategy for lawmakers or legislative body to use in how to deal with this? Because there will be victims at some point of AI misuse. I don't care what tool you create, somebody's going to misuse it. So what would your advice be to lawmakers or county commissioners or anyone of that nature when it comes to how do we craft law around AI?
It's interesting you bring that up because that's exactly what the Florida Bar was presented with when they did this ethics opinion we just talked about. So I would ask all of our county commissioners, all the way up through governor, through federal legislators, through the executive branch at a federal level, take a look at transparency. I think that's number one, that we know who we're dealing with. Number two is educate people to, you know, with respect to accuracy. There's a lot of that, a lot of debate on that right now. Should we have a watchdog or should we let people fend for themselves on figuring out what's accurate or not?
Well, then comes to mind as you say that, guardrails for development would be something I would think would need to be in play, but lawmakers can't do that. They don't know how it's being developed, what the capabilities are, when even the creators of this AI technology don't know why it hallucinates things that aren't in existence and presents them as real. How can lawmakers be ahead of it? They just can't.
Well, and you run into the philosophies too. You know, we don't want to regulate things before they even occur, not knowing where the guardrails need to be.
Right.
In a country where the First Amendment is strong as ours that we all value so much.
Sure.
Law itself, from a lawyer standpoint and a judge and a jury standpoint, we react to problems. We don't react to what might happen.
Right.
We as a law civil justice system react to what has happened.
So what happens when there is no law because this is the Wild West, it's a new frontier, something happens, you've got a victim who's been harmed, you end up in a lawsuit or end up in court with no guidelines in play, how does that work?
Well, I think we do have some guidelines in the structure of law that we have, and you have things like defamation, that would still apply. You have things like libel, which is the written word, that could still apply. Trademark infringement, which is one of the cases I have to talk about today if we have time.
Sure.
That can apply. And then the damages side, that's in play. How was your reputation impugned?
Okay.
How were you hurt financially from this false AI mime or this false AI photograph of you that was published on the internet? So we have a structure that can deal with that right now. I think we can get there in a hurry. There will be some cases, though, in reaction to problems that we don't know we may have never seen at this point in time, but they'll be solved, I think, pretty quickly with an aggressive civil justice system.
That's interesting. Have you seen similar circumstances, let's say other technology unrelated to computers or AI, where the law wasn't keeping up, but yet it's been handled appropriately? So is there a level of confidence you have with how this has happened before with other circumstances?
Yeah, yes, and I think it's where we've seen it lag behind in the past is our ability to communicate. Used to be, like I said, I remember when we had the thermal faxes was a new thing.
Right.
FedEx overnight was a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've evolved from there to straight fax to email and everything else. Law had to keep up with that. Things were moving so quickly. And publishing via email versus a letter, dealing with that.
Right.
And it adapted very well.
We're now electronically signing documents, and it's as legal as anything you've ever done with pen and ink.
Exactly. DocuSign is another.
Right.
You bring up a good point. So I think, though, again, it's buyer beware to some degree. The problem for people with something like a DocuSign is they see it and just punch it. But the argument is people sign a document laid in front of them without reading it.
Absolutely.
So I still think the consumer still needs to be aware. That's what goes through all of this, and be aware of what's out there, what particular problems there may be. But I think the law will adapt readily, as it has with others.
Let's talk about some of these cases you brought forward.
Sure.
And I'll let you pick and start
okay.
Where you'd like.
Yeah, and we can go through these as quickly as you want. The first one is it's Thaler v. Vidal, V-I-D-A-L, which is essentially... Vidal was the director of the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Okay.
So this man named Stephen Thaler, T-H-A-L-E-R, filed patent applications naming his AI system as the inventor. Who would have thought of that? We used AI to invent a process.
And who'd have thought he would want to give the credit away instead of taking it himself? But
well,
yeah.
I think it might be a test case
okay.
of some sort where he's, but he had a company called Dabis. And anyway, This went all the way up through the United States Supreme Court, and the ruling was, at least for the present time, only a natural person can be an inventor.
So even if the AI has created something for you, the AI can't be credited or can't hold the patent.
Correct. That's the law, unless there's been a statute that changed that. I looked at this. As far as I can tell, this is the law through today. Will let the legislature seek to change that? Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Will they change it and this would be on a federal level for federal patents.
Sure. So his argument was that AI systems should be acknowledged as inventors if they create something, even if prompted by somebody else. What made the court see it the other way?
Well, I think the court is doing what they're supposed to do, and that is following the law, not saying the way they think it should be.
Okay.
So the legislature, the court may be sending a message to the legislature. You have a law here, and we have a new technology, AI. Take a look at it.
Well, if you look at science fiction, there was a Robin Williams movie years ago about him as a robot. And he lived for like 200 years and was fighting to get recognized as a person as far as the law goes. And it took him 200 years. And are we looking at giving... in quotes here, rights to technology? Is that part of the argument?
That will be the debate.
Wow.
That will be the debate.
Right now, though, only natural persons can be a patent holder in this particular case.
And I'm not
case.
A patent lawyer, so
yeah.
There may be a statute I don't know about that's modified that. But
right.
This is illustrative of what the issue is that came before the court on AI.
We'll give him a disclaimer. Steve is a lawyer, but today he's only playing one on the radio.
That's right.
Let's explore some of these other cases you're talking about.
So the next one, which is interesting, is a company called CyberSource Corporation developed a plan for detecting credit card fraud over the Internet.
Which you would think would be a wonderful thing to have.
They did. And this plan, though, that was done by an AI platform.
Okay.
Which used traditional mathematical models that a human could do mentally, but would take a lot more time.
Oh, yeah, that's the biggest advantage you see out of technology is the speed with which you can do things that would have taken you forever before.
So a company called Retail Decisions said, look, you can't patent a method that was an abstract idea, a mental process. In other words, this is a mental process. It's like one and one equals two.
And that's not patentable. Even though they took those skills, combined them into something else that said, we can detect fraud with this.
That's correct. And the court in that case held that abstract ideas, even with AI implementation, so this is really about using AI to speed up the implementation of a mathematical model, remain unpatentable.
Again, this had a patent, and it's something they'd done that nobody else had done. I'm a little shocked that they can't patent this methodology. I mean, yes, it's using math that anybody could use, but they're using it in a different way and using a technology they developed, even though with AI, to make it happen. You would think that would be a trade secret of some sort that they ought to be able to patent.
And where it goes going forward, I don't know. I'm sure all these folks are hiring lobbyists in D.C.
Could this be a case where they argued the wrong thing, that they should have argued this is a technological process that uses these things, but it does it differently than everybody else?
If they could somehow turn it into a machine that did this versus just taking an existing thought process and accelerating it, perhaps that would be a better route to go. And how would you do that? I don't know. Maybe a really, really good creative patent lawyer can come up with something.
Yeah.
But I do think at some point in time, when you can accelerate, the argument to make is I could accelerate this to where this mathematical matrix works in detecting fraud so quickly it's more usable than a human doing it. You have some arguments.
I would think that would be the case. And it was something as important as fraud, credit fraud, whatever it may be, that protecting the consumer ultimately would be a goal that's worthy of attaining. And if you develop a system, it should be available to everybody to use once you've developed it? No. I mean, that's cutting at the heart of American business, it would sound like.
Well, this goes back to your thought, Bill, that the legislature needs to be creative and get out there as soon as they can.
We've got a little under a minute here.
I can give a real quick one.
Well, let's wrap this up, and then we'll move on to and expand on the others.
Sure.
If you're advising a legislature and you're seeing things like this, what are you going to say to them? And we're down to about 30 seconds here.
I'm going to say, listen to the experts, create committees, which I think they've done, that focus on this and this alone and give you as a legislative body advice. And then, you know, air it out with the with your electorate, your constituents, and hear what, because sometimes those people add some great ideas.
As far as I know, we've got one legislator in Tallahassee, and she's new, that's in the IT business. We talk more coming up on the Roundtable.
Splish, splash, I'm taking up.
Everything okay in here?
Oh, yeah, sure is.
You're wearing a life jacket.
Sure am.
In the tub?
Practicing for when we head to the lake. I read about wearing one at wearitflorida.com.
And wearitflorida.com told you to wear it in the tub?
Nope, that was my idea. You know, Florida is the leader in boating fatalities, so a life jacket can save lives.
As you were.
Splish, splash, I was taken.
Learn more at wearitflorida.com.
It's my favorite time of year, fresh from Florida's strawberry season. Did you know that Florida strawberries are grown in the winter? That means they're the first in your grocery store. Ripe, juicy, and bursting with flavor. When you're out shopping and spot these vibrant red berries, you know they're fresh from Florida. Just look for the logo and taste the difference. For recipe ideas, visit freshfromflorida.com. And there you can join the free Fresh from Florida Club. Fresh from Florida, the homegrown brand of Florida farmers. Good for your family, great for Florida.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Crump witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as the Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
AI and the law on this edition of the Florida Roundtable. Attorney Steve Charpentier is with us. I'm, of course, I'm Bill Mick. Nice to have you along this weekend on the Florida News Network. Steve, this opens up a totally new world. Ethics concerns, legal concerns, as you mentioned, transparency. Let's get into the next case, because I think it takes us in that direction.
Yeah, that case is Manta v. Avanca. And this is the case, we talked about the situation a little earlier. The lawyer, or lawyers, submitted a brief on a hearing to a judge without reading it, or at least without going beyond
without
reading
verifying.
It and looking at the cases, yes.
Yeah.
Well, these cases, which had real living judges signing the opinions that they used for a particular position, didn't exist or were totally, the outcome was totally different than was represented.
So this is one of those hallucinations that the AI has come up with.
Exactly.
How they call them hallucination, I don't know, but it's a creation. It's an abstract that doesn't exist anywhere.
It shouldn't have happened, because you go back to the ethics code opinion I read earlier.
Yeah.
It should not have happened. And what's interesting for all you lawyers that are listening, the judge in the case where they submitted the brief said, look, this is outrageous. I'm going to fine you a financial fine, number one.
Okay.
Number two, you're going to write a letter to each of your clients telling them what you did, and you're going to submit a copy to me, the court.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Number three, you're going to write a letter to each of the judges whose name was on the opinion you submitted, representing that they wrote this when they didn't, and tell them what you did.
Okay.
So they're lucky.
I would assume there might have been a referral to the bar somewhere along the way.
Yes. And this was this was just under Rule 11 of the federal rules for abuse of the system.
Okay.
So whatever the local bar did, I'm not sure, but they certainly could get reprimanded. I mean, I could see one being easily being suspended for something like that for a period of time. It's just
most certain.
It's hard to claim that's a mistake.
And I'm sorry, I've got a suspicious mind. Maybe that's the former policeman in me, but I would want to trust after I verified that that was there. I mean, that would have to develop over a period of time. And, I mean, in our investigations, you might have taken the word of an informant, but unless you could back it up with other evidence, you didn't move forward. In this case, I mean, somebody's case was in jeopardy here because they cited nonsense.
To me, not checking it, it's like riding a motorcycle down the street naked. You have no protection if it falls.
Mm-hmm. So this laid out ethical responsibilities for lawyers as regards to this.
Sure, and these rules already existed. Let's just take the let's say you had a 1 year lawyer do the brief for you, or you're a 20-year lawyer arguing the case. Same responsibility.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
So AI is a tool in the toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
AI is not the end all when it comes to lawyers and briefs.
It's like a pencil. It's like a screwdriver or a firearm.
And I've used it. It's remarkable. And it could get you going in the right direction in a lot less time, structure the argument very well. Because as you and I both know, you can go back and forth with AI. You can say, change the focus to this issue, not that issue.
Right.
Advocate for this and minimize this other issue. It can do all that for
you. But once it gives you the citation, you're going to your law book and you're going to verify that it said what it said.
And that's good, too, because once you verify, you can say, focus on this issue from the case.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all the reasons lead us to the result of do your work.
Let's stay in the ethical realm for just a minute. Is there a way to impose, or should we impose, on the developers, the creators of AI, if you will, some type of ethical standard? Should there be something that says, thou shalt not do these things or allow the machine to do these things?
That, in a very, very broad sense, I would tend to say yes.
Uh-huh.
But how much we regulate is where we're getting a little, we have to be careful.
Well, and that's where, with other law, that we get in problem when we let federal agencies write regulations that have the impact of law. So,
but if AI is a self-teaching tool, in other words, it's being taught through the use of the product,
right?
We humans that don't use it the right way, it's going to get tainted perhaps to some degree in some areas. I think ultimately right now, as a practical matter, certainly with respect to professionals, doctors, lawyers, and accountants and what have you, you have to hold that professional ultimately as the one that's responsible.
Okay. Well, your next case goes into the use of copyrighted material.
Right.
And AI, language learning models, it learns from whatever's out there on the internet. It goes and searches in quicker time than any of us could ever think about doing. And it brings back its conclusions based on what it has read, if you will. And there are lawsuits about that. I remember major news entities filing lawsuits and the like, saying it's using our stuff without us getting any credit for it, without us getting any compensation for it. And the other side of that is, if you throw your stuff out there, which you want the public to find, how can you expect a tool like this not to find it? And are there reasonable expectations there?
Well, if you're an author of a book and you throw it into all the books of millions all over the country, you're not giving up your copyright.
No, not at all.
So I think we have rules that we can apply to this. And in the case you're talking about is Anderson versus Stability. That's where it's a class action, which is still pending. This is one of the cases I've cited that has not been resolved.
Not decided yet. Maybe we'll decide it here today.
We might. But these were some artists that had graphics, pictures, drawings, that kind of thing. And an AI platform was using those pictures, those drawings to educate its AI to do drawings of its own.
Okay.
It's almost like you're going to class.
So does it have that creative ability, or is it stealing from everything that's already been out there?
That's the debate here.
Okay.
So you could argue, hey, I looked at six of your really, really good drawings, Mr. Picasso, and I went out and did my own. And maybe they resemble in some way, shape, or form some of what you've done, but they're my own creations.
Okay. So we're inspired by some artist, Da Vinci, all right? And we do things that are similar. We're certainly not Da Vinci. Are you a sci-fi fan at all, Steve?
Minimally.
Familiar?
As a trial lawyer, I'm a realist.
Okay. Familiar with Star Trek The Next Generation?
Yes, sir.
And Commander Data, who is an artificially intelligent but apparently has sentience, and he could play the violin, he could paint, he could do all of these other things. But is he a compilation of what he was designed to do, or is he learning and adapting his own stuff?
Right.
do we even know that about AI yet?
And when you bring up Da Vinci, it's the perfect metaphor because Da Vinci had skills from architecture to painting to design, everything. And what if you had an AI model that studied these various prodigies in each one of these areas and combined that and becomes its own Da Vinci? So the law's going to have to deal with that.
That's very interesting. So you think there are still protections in play for these artists or others that are...
This case will be interesting. By the same token, can you say to one human, say to another, you can't look at my fashion design and go out and create your own, even though there's some resemblance to what I'm doing? What about Coca-Cola and Pepsi? Mm-hmm. I mean, how far apart are they? Yet they're two separate things in our commercial markets.
There are. And I've always been able to tell the difference. People say they can't. I can. Sorry, I just do.
Right.
Let's jump into the last case because it's related to this one. Authors Guild versus OpenAI, which is probably the most familiar AI system to most of us because they really got out there publicly first. And this has to do with using written works without permission to train the AI models.
Sure.
Copyright issues here again.
Same thing as the last case. And in this one, this is also one that's still open.
Okay.
It's in the discovery phase right now, I think. So
okay.
We've heard about this through the media recently.
Sure.
So these cases, you know, some of these I didn't put in here when they were all filed, but some of these cases have been around for a few years. And remember, they start out as somebody being concerned. They hire an attorney. They may go through patent court. They may go through a district court, federal district court. Then they go on the appellate level. And then they may go as far as the Supreme Court. And every now and then they get reversed at the appellate level, go back to the district court. So this can take years and years and years, which is why, going back to your comment before, the legislature needs to take a look at what's happening and maybe not wait until the cases are over.
Start crafting the law.
And the beauty, and Bill Posey once told me this, he goes, look, we need to do things and pass laws sometimes, and if they're not just right, we'll come back the next year and fix them and make them better.
Bill, of course, for the audience around the state, former state representative, state senator, and congressman from the Space Coast, and just a great mind and a guy who knew how to do that business and do it very well.
When Bill spoke, I listened.
As we all should have, absolutely. This has to do with another term that is out there, and I'm familiar with it from the news end of my business, which is fair use. I got 20 seconds. Can you give me a thought of what could be considered fair here?
Well, I think we're talking about it, fair use. I'm using this to educate me to move along my aspirations as an artist, my aspirations as an author, my aspirations as a lawyer.
And I'm not using your works word for word.
Sure. I study a book, a science book in school.
Back with more on the Roundtable in moments.
Looking to connect with your community? Florida's Transit connects you to the heart of it all. Florida's bus and rail systems bring people together. Whether you're heading to a local farmers market, a neighborhood festival, or a community event, Transit helps you stay connected to everything happening around you. When you ride Transit, you're not just getting from point A to point B. You're building connections with your neighbors, your friends, and your city. Florida's Transit system is part of your community, helping you stay in touch with all that's important. Florida's Transit system is designed to keep you connected. Visit TransitConnectsFlorida.com for more details and schedules.
Hey, Bill, how's it going?
I'm fine, Bob. I just wish I were ready for mosquito season.
Well, that's why I bought Summit Mosquito Dunks.
Summit Mosquito Dunks?
Yep, they kill the mosquito larvae before they're old enough to bite.
How about that? Well, I guess I'm off to the store.
Help protect yourself and your family from diseases caused by mosquitoes with Summit Mosquito Dunks. Available at garden centers, hardware stores, and online at SummitResponsibleSolutions.com. That's SummitResponsibleSolutions.com.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Call 800-762-2768. That's 800-762-2768.
Feeling the aches and pains of everyday life slowing you down? Introducing Blue Emu, America's number one emu oil formula for pain relief. In a recent clinical trial, 91% of users saw improvement after using Blue Emu. Whether you're working hard, playing harder, or just staying active, Blue Emu penetrates deep to relieve joint and muscle pain fast. And best of all, you won't stink. Join the 91% who felt the difference. Find Blue Emu at your local retailer or online. Blue Emu works fast and you won't stink.
AI and the law this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Attorney Steve Charpentier is with us. And Steve, this opens up a world of questions, and I'm going to try to hit you with a few of them in the time we've got left. When the law doesn't specifically address an issue like we're likely to face with some of this AI work in front of us, is a civil trial the only recourse we're looking at here?
Well, if there's no law, legislated law, and there's no regulation, which is the administrative level, the courts are left with a dilemma, and I think a lot of it depends on, in that case, the judge. Because rules of...
Can even the judges or the attorneys involved be educated enough on AI? I mean, that presents a world of problems, it seems.
Well, we lawyers can get educated through experts. We do that all the time.
Or use AI to get the education. There.
Yeah, well, at this point in time, AI cannot testify. There's another topic we may have for another day.
That could happen, yeah.
So, but right now, as far as I'm aware, AI is not doing any testifying. It has to be a human. So we can get educated, but the judge may be in a position where they have to make a ruling based on common law principles, because there's going to be no common law edict specifically dealing with AI.
Okay.
But you can use principles, as we've talked about it in other things.
Sure.
The damages exist, the ways to measure the damages.
Right.
And a judge may have to make a ruling at some point in time until the legislature says otherwise.
Interesting. So, and that could drive lawmaking down the road, I guess.
It could, but I would hope we can get out of it ahead a little. But there are going to be circumstances where a judge is going to have to be creative. But our system is such that we want the legislature to legislate, not the judges.
Absolutely.
But sometimes the judges have to make our system keep rolling.
Okay.
Make commerce go.
Kind of interesting to see how that's going to play out. Let me ask you this. What if the actors or the creators of this AI entity or the actors who used it are either out of state or even out of country?
So we have that problem now in the products liability world that I litigate in.
Okay.
So you have a product made in Vietnam. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And under our existing law, whoever retails it here in the U.S. is on the hook for the problem. Some people advocate to take that away. I say don't, because you're going to have the problem you're going to have in the products liability world is going to be the same problem you're going to have in the AI world if you don't extend liability to somebody that the court can effectively monitor or control or punish.
Okay.
Or a victim can seek compensation from.
Right.
So I think we need to have a system where if there's a link between a U.S. entity that's promoting this AI or governing or running this AI, even though the core of it comes from another country, there needs to be jurisdictional
power. Is that part of
power.
The motivation for the TikTok debate that's going on right now, whether it should be banned in the country? Or, I mean, it's got a U.S.-based company here.
I think the TikTok debate's a little different. So when it comes to you have another government, the Chinese government, running potentially espionage, okay, or peddling influence,
right.
A little different to me. Although AI could be used for those purposes as well.
Most certainly.
But we do need to create jurisdictional, what we call forms of long-arm jurisdiction, where we can bring those entities before U.S. courts.
Very good. Let's talk about a Florida law specifically now. It's awaiting a Supreme Court decision on a similar Texas law that has to do with teenagers and access to the Internet, social media sites, the addictive nature and the like. The Texas case has already gotten to the Supreme Court, waiting for that decision. Florida's saying under 17, not on the internet, not on the social media sites, but 15 and 16 year olds can, 14 and under, 15 and 16 year olds with parental permission. Are we going to look at this kind of thing with AI as well then?
Well, I'm, you know, thankfully my daughter's 45 years old now, and I remember the computers were just starting when she was in high school, so I didn't have most of these problems. you know, we were talking off air that the First Amendment is a very, very sharp razor blade tool.
Yes.
Very effective, very important, works I think well in our country. But it can cut and cause a lot of bleeding.
Freedom can be a dangerous thing.
It sure can, and it can hurt sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, personally, I love the First Amendment. I want to see it survive, and there's going to be some fallout from that. Now, the government, based on what the voters want, is going to have to decide how far they're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking at it from the end result back, how do you enforce this?
Mm-hmm.
I've laid awake at night thinking, how do you enforce this?
Is it the social media company? Is it the tool that the user is using? Is it the device level? I've talked with Representative Tyler Soroy about that on my local show, and they're looking at options to try to craft this law reasonably, and I'm not sure it's going to be an easy task at all.
And I talked to Tyler myself a little bit about that bill, and he has the best intentions with that bill.
I believe that wholeheartedly.
And it's still going to be difficult. And so what will happen is that I think if it gets passed, it's going to go all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and then it's going to get settled.
That's why they're waiting on Texas.
Yes.
So we're back to close AI and the law this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Stay with us.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
It's my favorite time of year, fresh from Florida's strawberry season. Did you know that Florida strawberries are grown in the winter? That means they're the first in your grocery store. Ripe, juicy, and bursting with flavor. When you're out shopping and spot these vibrant red berries, you know they're fresh from Florida. Just look for the logo and taste the difference. For recipe ideas, visit freshfromflorida.com. And there you can join the free Fresh from Florida Club. Fresh from Florida, the homegrown brand of Florida farmers. Good for your family, great for Florida.
If you need health coverage due to a life change, healthcare.gov is here for you. Like it was there for Terrence and Jody when they got married. And Sophia when she had a baby. And Gary when he moved and needed new insurance. There are many other ways to qualify. Visit healthcare.gov today to see if you're eligible to enroll. Limited time to enroll. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Man, it is a beautiful day to fish.
Here's your life jacket.
You know I can swim, right?
So could a lot of people who died falling overboard.
Come on, I'm not a kid.
Fatalities are often men over 30.
It's too hot to wear one.
These new ones are
They're happy. Ooh, I got one!
Glad you wore the life jacket.
Okay, yes.
Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission reminds you to wear your life jacket. Visit wearitsflorida.com. Wear it, Florida.
Shortness of breath, patient's confused, temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready, let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestrule.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Steve Charpentier with us, an attorney who's helping us close out this series, for now anyway, on artificial intelligence with the law. Steve, just last week, the president announced that SoftBank, OpenAI, and Oracle joining forces to create this Project Stargate, which is building data centers to power artificial intelligence across the country. Going to start in Texas and then move to other places. This is coming whether we like it or not. Let me give you a chance here as we close the show to recommend to these folks, as you're looking at this, what are the steps you would think about protectively for the people and the law as it comes to this issue?
I, in one word, I think if this all happens, it could be awesome, because I'm a fan of AI. But it's like handing each one of us a machine gun.
Right.
Great thing to have for the right use and in the right hands. And you have to be real careful and know what you're doing while you're using it.
Well, and that leads it back into ethics and development and ethics and use.
And I think we're going in that direction. I think we need to enforce it and just really stay close with it along the way. But I think it's coming whether we like it or not.
And the best thing would be get familiar with it and know and understand it then.
Everybody. And maybe even indoctrinate people in school. Make it part of the curriculum, which it probably is, I would think, to some degree
already. We talked
already
about that a little bit last week with education. Okay. It wasn't about learning AI, but it was about using AI to enhance the child's educational experience, develop their understand their weaknesses and their strengths, and help them develop in a way that's going to be best for them down the road. Positive uses are out there, there's no doubt.
And teach the morality of it as well, if that's the right word. I don't know if morality is the right word to use for that, but the responsibility maybe is a better word that
there
goes,
you go.
To goes with that.
Uh-huh.
And because you're going to have problems, but we have problems with everything.
Well,
that's
maybe
why
that's
we have
where this
system.
All comes back to is personal responsibility in the development and in the use of these kind of tools.
Sure.
There will always be bad actors who will take advantage of whatever tech or tool is out there. And that's where the law is going to have to come into play.
And I just wanted to comment on one aspect of that. And I would implore our legislators not to fix the problem by taking away the rights of the citizen if they're injured by this. Sometimes they seek that as a way to fix things. Is we just going to cap this damage you can claim for this, or we're going to deny you access to courts when it comes to the fact that you've been wronged by AI? Let the system work. Let the civil justice system, that can regulate this.
Mm-hmm.
The financial impact on a company or the potential financial impact by doing the wrong thing can cause the right thing to happen.
Well, there are responsible parties somewhere. The question is finding them.
They're
right?
Everywhere. I still believe that. They're everywhere. And the majority will be responsible. But it's the minority that create the problems, and we need to have a system that deals with them and protects people and allows people to be compensated if they truly, truly can prove they've been injured.
I tell you what, technology is an amazing thing. I'm a fan of it. I want Star Trek computers where I talk to them and they do what I want them to do. That's what I want. But the responsibility along the way and the rapid changes can make it tough for society to keep up with it. Very interesting. Got just a few seconds for a closing thought. What do you think here?
Bottom line is this is a tool in the toolbox. Use it safely, use it well, be educated on it, and keep an eye on your kids.
Steve Charpentier, thank you, my friend. That was a fast-paced hour, a lot of information. And go back and catch the podcasts on all three of these AI shows. And I'll meet you back here next week on this Florida News Network station for the Florida Roundtable.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick, a news and public affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.